This morning, there are a lot of things running through my head, and believe me, there's room for a lot of things in my head because it's pretty much empty most of the time. But, and Ron kind of prayed it this morning. He says, we're getting ready for a new year. Now, a pessimist would say that the year is about over, but an optimist would say we're looking forward to a new year. And I'm an optimist. I like to think that we're looking forward to a new year. We're about to close the book on 2024, and it is what it is. Whatever we've made it to be or whatever has happened to us probably will not continue to happen. But I want us to focus on the word new today because we are looking at a new year. The first thing that we find in Scripture, and we find it in the book of Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, verse 5, where it says, there's nothing new under heaven. Everything that has happened or is going to happen has already happened in ancient times. There is nothing new that's going to happen under heaven. But yet, it's new to us, right? Because I haven't lived as long as the earth is long. I may look like it, I may act like it, may feel like it, but I haven't lived that long. So I don't know everything that's happened, but everything, I'm assured that everything that will happen to me has already happened to someone or has been present on the earth below. But then if we go to the other end of the spectrum, we go to the other end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, it says, behold, I make all things new. Well, it's not a contradiction what we're hearing, that there's nothing new and that there's going to be all things new. But one of the great discoveries that I found is that there are so many words in Greek for new, with different nuances for each one of the words. As we think about new, how many of you have made New Year's resolutions? You've made them? You know, you haven't made any, Deb? Well, here's the pessimistic news about New Year's resolutions, that by the second Friday of the new year, they have been broken. They're no longer practiced. But as we think about New Year's resolutions, and we think about a new year, we think about a new day, we get a new start. And we kind of think of this in a 365-day cycle. Every year we get a new year, we get a new start. But as we think about those 365 days within each year, we find that each day is a new day. A new day. A day filled with hope, a day filled with possibility, a day filled with fear, expectation, uncertainty. But every day is a new day. As we think about a new day, God has a new way of life for us that, as was shared in the communion meditation this morning, that God came to redeem us because he has a new way for our lives. Now, what does it mean to be redeemed? Anybody, just say it out loud. What does it mean to be redeemed? Start over? Is that what it means to be redeemed? I mean, okay, so I'm just going to say, get a new start today. Is that what it means? Set free? Redeemed? Okay. I'm poor, and I've got this goat, and I need $10. I'm going to let you hold my goat, if you're that silly. Hold my goat, and you give me the $10, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to redeem my goat with $10 that I'm going to have next week. Okay, so what does redeem mean? To buy back. Now, here's the question for us to start out our thinking this morning. If I have been redeemed, who did I belong to first? Right answer. I belonged to God. And then I belonged to the earth, Satan, evil. And so I have been redeemed. Jesus bought me back. He paid for what was already his, who had been voluntarily removed myself from God's grace and his protection. And so Christ came to redeem me, gives me a new start. Am I a new person? Great answer. I am the fresh me, not the new me, because the old me has always existed. But there is a new me. Now, here's the problem that we have with New Year's resolution. I am going to be radically different next year than I was this year. I'm going to change something next year that I did this year. It could sure be some bad things, but here's the problem that we have. If I am going to do things differently and new, the problem that I'm going to have is that I'm going to have to leave the old me behind. And how many of us drag into a new life, the old me, that undermines any opportunity or any expectation that I might have to become a new creation? God has accomplished everything. If I don't change, I will always be who I was. And I think the definition of insanity is doing everything the same way all the time, expecting a different outcome. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah, but that's what we do. We must be ridiculous people. Because we do the same things over and over and over again, and we don't change them, but we have an expectation of being better or doing something better. Well, God's pretty smart. And he knew what kind of people we are. And he knows that once we get something in our heads, it's in our heads, it's there. And dynamite won't blow it out, but love and grace might. Because as we think about new, we think of something that is, I don't know how to say a word without using the word new. It's different. It's something maybe that we have not experienced yet. And it's new to us because it's different than anything else we have ever been. In 1 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, the seventh verse, it says this: therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. I don't know if that feels good to be an old piece of bread or not. But what it says here is that we have to purge out the old leaven. That means the old dough that made our bread has to be done away with so we can get a new leaven, so we can be a new lump. And the word there is neos, which means fresh. You know, if you buy a bunch of bananas, and I know if you eat bananas, you've experienced this, that you take them home, they're green when you take them home. The gorillas couldn't even eat them at that point. You take them home, and you put them on your counter, and in 2 days, they're black. They're no good. And so you need to go get newos bananas, fresh bananas. They're new. They're not the same old rotten bananas. They're new. And so when God looks down at us and he says, here's what you've got to do. You need to throw the old person that you were away with all the sins and all the things that hold you back and all those things of evil that you do to one another. You need to throw those away so that you can become something new, something fresh, a new model. How many of you, when you go to buy a car, when your old one's just about worn out and you got like 500,000 miles on it and your feet are running through the floorboard and you know that it's about time to buy a new car because you've gotten everything out of that you can get, how many of you go and look at an older car? Yeah, Randy, you'd probably run like Fred Flintstone with your feet right on the ground too. How many of you go looking for an older car? something worse than what you had. No, you look at a new car, and boy, you like the looks of a new car, and then you get sticker shock. And so we make some adjustments maybe. And no matter where your mind wind up, it's the thing. We're getting something fresh, something that's going to serve a purpose, something that is different than what we had. And when we come to Jesus Christ and we make our commitments of faith, and when we are obedient to God in the requirements that he has for us, are we going to be the same person tomorrow that we said we were leaving behind today? And the problem is we never leave that old person behind because he becomes a part of us. You know, there is something that is always going to be true because life is an accumulation of knowledge. I know something today that I didn't know yesterday, or at least I don't know it yet. I will by the end of the day. There's always an accumulation of knowledge that carries over from one day to the next and is also shared amongst people so that we can come to learn and know more. Accumulation of knowledge in the Bible. You know, when I became a Christian, I didn't know very much about the Bible because I think I was too young to read. I think I've been a Christian all my life because I never knew a time when I wasn't taken to church. And when I wasn't taken to church, I chose to be there on myself except for 2 years of my life. And those were the most messed up 2 years of my whole life. But there has to be something new. An accumulation of knowledge that allows us to understand what nuos means. Fresh. Different. Yes, I can't escape the body that God gave me. You know, I go to the mirror and I look at it and I try to comb it and improve it and fix it and do all these things to it. But it's still the body God gave me. It's always going to be the old body. But inside, they can be a freshen up. There can be a new makeup. There can be a new me. Because the thinking in my heart and my mind has changed because of the call that Jesus Christ has had on my heart and on my life. And I have seen the importance and the relevance of that Christ in my life. I want to go to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 25. Excuse me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new kainos, fresh cup, latest edition of a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." There is a vast difference between the cup that the disciples, that the Jews took of remembering the Passover, than the one that Jesus gave, because it was a fresh cup. It was a new edition. It was the latest model. It was now. Now it was brand new. And as he gave this cup, and the word there is nuos, as he gave this cup, it was new, it was fresh, because now it was not just some community thing. It now became a personal cup that was given for me, his blood for my life, his blood for your life. It becomes personal to us. Nuos, the latest, the freshest, the best. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th verse, it says, "Therefore, if any is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new." And as we think about those things, again, we find that there is a new addition. It's the latest model, and that's also kainos. And as we look at that, what is the requirement of becoming the new person that we're supposed to be? Yeah, what are you supposed to do with that old person? Let's see what he says here. The old man... I just lost it. Old things have passed away. That means they are dead to me. Ever been to a funeral? Yeah. Ever expect the person that whose funeral you went to get up? Yeah. They passed away. But have they ever really gone away? No, because in Christ Jesus, if we have invested ourselves in love and we have been loved, then love never dies. But if we are going to have a new creation, if we're going to have a successful new life, there are things of the old life that cannot go along on vacation. That suitcase that they put in the car does not belong in the car if we're going to be new. We can't be just a nasty, crabby old person all the time that just hates everybody around him and then say that I'm a new creation and carry all that baggage around as we live our lives. We have to become a new creation. How do we know what kind of a creation to become? Because God, through Jesus Christ, has modeled for us the kind of person that we should be. Do you remember a story in the Gospel of John where this woman who was lived a life of ill repute, and there were some very pious men in the community that went in and grabbed her and drug her out of the house, and they brought her before Jesus, and in front of all the male population that was around there, they threw her at Jesus' feet and said, the law of Moses said that this woman who was taken in adultery should be stoned. Now, what do you say? What did Jesus say? Did Jesus believe in the law? Absolutely, he believed in the law because he was filling it up with his life. But he was also showing us how that law was to be applied. And the unspoken truth in that midst of all these evil-minded, vindictive men that threw this evil woman at his feet, they thought in their hearts and their minds that they were better than her. And that even more corruptly, they were thinking that they could trap God's son, Jesus. And you know, folks, they had to know that he was not just some normal human being, because he knew stuff he wasn't supposed to about them. And he knows stuff that we wished he didn't know about us. That's why it's pointless to lie to God, because he already knows it. But the thing, the difference between God and people is people won't forgive you, but God will. Because he loves you. And so as this poor woman, I can just see her. I can just see the tears dripping into the dust of the earth or the ground there. And they're looking at Jesus saying, what are you going to do here? Jesus looked into the heart of every human being and says, you know what? You're no better than she is. And if you think you are, anyone who has not sinned, I want you to be able to throw that first stone. And you know what the response of these people were? They recognized it in truthfulness, because as they looked around in that group of men, they knew that the group of men knew them pretty well. And maybe even they had visited this young woman in this house of ill repute. I don't know that. It doesn't matter in the story, does it? But it does say that they all left one at a time, the oldest to the youngest. And what's the point? Is because every one of them were sinners. None of them were any better than this woman who was caught in adultery. And I always laugh at the irony of this story, because how many people does it take to commit adultery? Two. At least two. And how many did they bring? Brought one. They just had half a case. They had half a case. The next part. Well, I want one more point. I cannot bring into a new life, a new creation, the old that has already been rejected by God. And friends, that's what we do. That's what the church does. That's why the church is not effective today, is because we drag into our life, we drag into our church, we drag into all of our traditions and our rules and all these things, the things that we should be leaving behind. You know, if it were my job to judge you, I'm not qualified. And it's not my job to judge you. my job, according to the scripture and the gospel of Jesus Christ, is to love you. As a minister, to proclaim to you the truth of Jesus Christ, whether it is palatable to you or not. That's my job. And I cannot tell you that I honestly care about you or that I honestly love you if I am not willing to tell you the hard truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is not my word, but is God's word to us, so that we can have a redeemed and joyous life. That's what my job is. My job isn't to be a referee. My job is not to tell you how to think. My job is not to structure and order your life. My job is not to be your servant in such a way that I am doing at your every whim those things. My job is to love you. My job is to proclaim the truth to you. And if I bring anything else beside that into this ministry, you need to let me go immediately. Because I will do you absolutely no good outside of those two things. In Galatians, the sixth chapter, we're still talking about kainos here. For in Christ, there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. They avail nothing but the new creation. Folks, in the scripture, there is value in change in a godly fashion. It may be difficult. It may be a struggle. It may be a battle against everything you ever believed, everything you were ever taught. But all the rules and regulations don't mean anything. The baptistry doesn't mean anything. The cross doesn't mean anything. The Bible doesn't mean anything unless it is applied in the new life of God's children. Because we can do all the right things for all the wrong reasons. And as we think about the many things, sometimes I cringe. What was I thinking? What were we doing? How did we get here? And the very answer to all those questions is, I didn't do it God's way. I didn't do it in a new creation. I want to go to another form of the word new, and that is anomia, to be made new. And that, as we look in the book of Romans, we find that be no longer conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That emphasis there is something that we're doing to change our life in the book of Romans. The transformation is something we're striving to. But now this word anomia, it says to be made new. That is something that's external. That is caused by the Holy Spirit and the external presence of God that comes into our heart to allow us. And as the transformation that we're making meets the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it makes us that new creation. And here's what it says, and it's in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 22 to 24. That you may put off concerning your former conduct the old man that grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That is amazing, isn't it? What were we created for? Where will we feel the most comfortable? In righteousness and holiness, because we were made in the image and the likeness of God. What two words can you ascribe to God that is different than what we just read? Righteousness and holiness. And there's a lot of other adjectives we could use that maybe we don't measure up to. But it says there's a lot of things that really don't matter in this world. But what does matter is the new man. What's the new man going to look like? What's this new model that we are allowing God to mold according to his will and his purpose? In Colossians, the third chapter, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created us." The picture of the new man is a man who is growing up in the fullness of Christ, who has attained to the full measure of Christ, who is striving to do not what I want, not what is convenient, not what is popular, but what God wants me to do. And sometimes that path and that journey is a difficult path and journey to travel, because there aren't too many people in the world, and the people that you know and the people that you meet, that are trying their level best to do what God wants them to do. And when you find yourself in the midst and in the middle of that kind of a world, it is going to be very difficult for you to become that new person that God intends for you to be. And we've all been there. I don't know how many times, regretfully so, that I wanted to be something that I wasn't in the moment, in the middle of that opportunity. But I'm going to tell you what, when you're changing from something old to something new, there have to be some new parts in the product, don't there? And what are the new parts in the product? First, there's a vision for who God wants me to be. There's a vision for who I want to be in the name of God. There are some spiritual principles that I need to interject into this machine in order to make it work. It can't be the old, rusty, worn-out parts that didn't work before. And I have to have a hope that this hard struggle, this hard journey, this difficult path that I've chosen to follow has a reward at the end that is beyond anything that I can describe. And friends, this morning, the new man has that hope. A new year means nothing if we drag the old year right back into it. But we have an opportunity, don't we? In fact, every breath that we take, we have the opportunity to become the new person that God wants us to be. And you guys, I'm going to pray now. If you want to get to your places, I say that because the journey from there to there is a lot farther now because of age. I want to close in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, this morning, I am convicted because of your holy word that the old man that I am and the new man that I want to be has to be a decision of my own heart. And this eternal life that I look forward to and that so many of us flippantly claim requires the heart of the new man. I pray for each and every one of us here that as we encounter and engage in this new year, this new us, that we can become the fresh, the new us that has never existed before. And I just pray it in the name and the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.